personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
So, some breaking NFL news at the moment, but a young athlete that I have very much been a fan of as a Chicago Bear for a few years now, Tariq Cohen, cannot seem to dodge the bad luck train that keeps running him over left, right, and center.
Yeah, supposedly suffering a serious lower leg injury while working out, and it was on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
I'm an old fart, Aaron. And so, I guess I'm still confused at the whole, hey, I'm going to go work out and put it on Instagram thing.
That is weird.
It seems to me like you're kind of, like you're almost inviting bad karma. Again, I'm an old fart. I might not know what I'm talking about, but that just seems like you're kind of toying with fire. And of course, it's easy for me to say that now that someone got hurt, but why?
I've never truly understood, apart from just, I guess because he's a free agent, he's just trying to get publicity out there of, look at what good shape I'm still in, don't you worry, I haven't been rusting away.
Okay, that's actually a great response. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, obviously, then I don't know why there's random people that like I went to high school with that will post videos of themselves working out on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, you're
Live,
not. But you're, well, I guess technically they're a free agent too.
Yeah, I guess they're also waiting for the Tennessee Titans to give them a call.
Yeah, their odds are a little longer as far as... but to be truthful, though, I mean, there's enough jerkwads in professional sports that never get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tariq Cohen, and I hope it's...
I don't know if you read his letter to my younger self that he posted. That was...
I'll have to go Google that, but...
That was a bit tear-jerking.
I hope... hope it's not as serious as it looked, and if it is, I hope he's able to come back and be as strong as he wants to be and continue his career. It's just such a, I guess it's just one of those unnecessary things, or I mean one of those unfortunately necessary things for sports.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, you know, I don't mean to throw this in under the guise as being at the same level as the other two. But obviously, first and foremost, Tariq Cohen, very shortly after entering the NFL, lost his brother, which could not have been easy on him whatsoever.
Be awful.
Then followed that up with the very next season, he had that knee injury in Atlanta in what felt like it totally destroyed the Bears' offense for a course of like 7 weeks. You don't realize how badly you need your weird gadget backup running back until you don't have your weird gadget backup running back anymore.
Well, if your whole offense is predicated on that guy being able to do what he does, then all of a sudden your offense is something else.
Yeah, because you think of Tariq Cohen and you think, oh, what is he good for? Like one or two plays a game? The problem is, you don't have anyone else to get you that one or two massive plays a game that he always seemed to get us. And that was a shame for Bears fans, but obviously also for Tariq Cohen, too, who obviously was down a knee for an entire year. And then he missed a second year, and it really confused people, and we all went, what the heck happened to your knee? Well, now he was supposed to be good. His knee was fine. He's supposed to be good to go. He's coming back this year. The mysterious knee injury that no one knew what was up with it. Now he's torn his Achilles, potentially.
Is that what the initial report is?
Yes.
Oh, that is not... Those are not good.
No. And
unfortunately, those are like... although I will say I just recently read an article, in the last 6 months anyway, they're making rapid strides on Achilles. It used to be if you tore your Achilles, it's like, okay, now you got to wait this amount of time and then we'll do... They like will go immediately into surgery now.
Mm-hmm.
And it cuts off what used to be kind of an 18-month to 2-year full recovery. I mean, you saw it this last playoffs. Name escapes me for the 49ers. Their running back had a ruptured Achilles, and he was back playing in the playoffs in like 7 months.
That wasn't Mozart, was it?
Mostert. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, it's not the death knell that it once was. Much mm-hmm. like. much like the ACL that ended Gale Sayers' career. Obviously, that's no longer the case. Everything's, you know, gotten better. But at the same time, the timing of it, crappy.
Yeah.
Because he's unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, it's one thing to do rehab when someone else is paying you to rehab. It's quite another to not have a job and have a ruptured Achilles sitting at home going, crap.
Well, I'll say this. If there was a player on these last few Bears teams that I would have faith has the work ethic to just hit it anyway, knowing full well he's not being paid to go to this rehab, it's probably Tariq Cohen. So, you know what, that or Mitchell Trubisky. Underrated work ethic on that Mitch Trubisky.
Speaking of, since you brought up Mitchell Trubisky, I need to make fun of your Bears.
That's fair.
I saw this on Twitter. I have a brother who's a Bears fan, and so I shared this with my family group text mocking him. So that's the reason I shared this. And, all right, here we go. Okay, so this is from Darren Ravel, and he tweeted, Bears ad up now at Chicago's Midway Airport features Mitch Trubisky, Khalil Mack, and Tariq Cohen. Trubisky's on the Steelers, Mack is on the Chargers, and Cohen is a free agent. Come on, Bears.
That's
at Midway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like your backyard.
That's where we're supposed to be the monsters.
and the bad thing about it, I mean, I can understand. I can understand the Mac and the Cohen. The Mac thing, you still should have had it on there, but, you know, and Cohen, that just happened. Those things just happened in the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. But Mitch Trubisky, the guy was on the Bills last year.
Yeah.
Get your crap together,
I wonder if
Bears.
That ad wasn't printed in 2018 and they just haven't bothered.
I'm just saying, it's kind of funny. As quickly as things adapt and change in sports, it actually makes me feel good because we're part of a little media company. And when I do stuff like that, like, that probably should have come down a day before it did or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, and that's the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
They're worth billions of dollars.
We're clear.
And they aren't doing it.
Yeah. So if McCaskey comes out and he straight up says that he's, quote, not a football guy, the understanding is that, okay, so I assume that means you're just a business guy then? Just here for...
And which means that shouldn't happen either.
Clearly, you're not a business/marketing guy either. So what kind of guy are you,
well,
Mr.
McCaskey? I'll tell you what he appears to be. He appears to be the multi-generational rich kid who inherited something of just absolutely staggering value.
Yeah.
That
he is doing his best to make sure that it does not stay.
That 99.9% of the world would love to have, or at least Americans. Yeah.
But nope, I would love to have anyone else have that.
Yeah, see, I'm in the same boat. Since we're talking about crappy owners, I'm a Washington fan, and they've really done some cool stuff. Honestly, in the last year and a half, 2 years, they've hired some people, some diversity hires that have gone overlooked. They've created some things that should have already been in place, but they're kind of leading the way on that.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, they have embraced this whole, I can't remember the name of it, where they've got six minority candidates on staff and at actual head coaching, at actual positions, mm-hmm. rather than just, oh, he's a strength coach or something like that. And what it's supposed I'm not bad-mouthing strength, but I'm like, but there was a guy on the staff who'd been there for 15 years but was not considered part of the staff.
That is weird. So but let me just say.
I'm saying actual staff members.
I have heard this directly from my own college coach, and then I've heard it on ESPN a couple of times. Most head coaches, when they get a head coaching job for the first time, they will tell you the first coach they go out and hire is they go out and they get themselves a strength coach.
And I am not discounting the need of the strength coach. That's not what I was doing there. Holy crap. You can't say anything these days.
No.
But so Washington, at least on paper, the last 12, 18 months has been kind of leading the way. But it's like, it's just window dressing. You still have an owner that's a complete tool. No one likes him. He's a cheat. He's ripping off the other owners. I'm convinced the only reason that he's not been run out of his ownership is because he's got some serious information on other big name owners, i.e. Jerry Jones, i.e. Robert Kraft. He's been in there for 25 years. I mean, he's been in there long enough to embed himself in that in the ownership like a tick.
See, our ownership problems aren't even because the McCaskies are necessarily scummy people, because they seem like perfectly lovely people. They're just morons.
Well, they'd rather summer in the Hamptons and blah, blah, blah.
The only one there that I am convinced gives a crap whether the Bears win or lose is Virginia. And unfortunately, her age is in the triple digits now, so there's not a lot she's really allowed to do with the organization.
Yeah, she has a Methuselah rookie card. That's how old she is.
She was there because she told the story about when the Bears brought back in 2019 the 1932 throwback jerseys. They're like, this is from the 32 championship game. And Virginia started telling a story of the first time her dad showed her the new uniforms.
So here's how old that is. My dad was born in 1932. He died in 1986. He's been dead for almost 40 years, and she's telling a story about something that happened when he was born. That's how old she is.
She at least told it in a comedic fashion, though. I don't know if anyone's seen the thing when she said...
Those were lovely.
No, she said her dad brought him out and said, what do you think of the new uniforms, Virginia? She said, I tried my hardest to stay focused on the uniforms, but I couldn't stop staring at Bronco Nagurski's butt. She said, but then I looked down and the socks weren't particularly attractive.
And how old was she when this happened?
I have no idea.
Because that sounds like a Me Too thing there. Sounds like she was harassing Bronco Nagurski.
Perhaps, but it was 1932, so, you know.
That's a good point.
No one gave a crap.
Hey, let's talk about the NHL playoffs.
Oh, let's.
Because, well, I guess the first thing I want to ask you in particular, I'm an Avalanche fan. They've had their struggles in the postseason the last handful of years. They look dominant in the first round against the Predators. Now they get the Blues. How nervous should I be in this matchup with the Avalanche and the Blues?
Well, the Blues managed to close the door there in the last two games, but they let the Minnesota Wild give them quite a fight. And that was in a matchup where the Blues had inexplicably dominated the whole regular season against a good Wild team. If we just say, let's take round one and assume that both teams play like that again for round two, which very rarely happens, but let's pretend that's how the universe works. I would take Colorado in five or six games because I think they're going to skate circles around the Blues. The Blues are very heavy on their skates.
Okay.
And I think Colorado has better scorers, and I think they have better defense. Both of these teams come in with goaltenders that have name value because of what they used to do, but are struggling mightily over the last month or two. Darcy Kemper, who is the Colorado number one, and everyone in Colorado's, you know, oh, we got, I hope Kemper's back. Oh, he should be back, so we're golden. It's not really Kemper that makes you golden. It's that defense in front of him that's kept him clean most of the year. Kemper has struggled. With it, at least in percentage-wise. Now, granted, he only faces about 10 shots a game, so that helps. But
is he fully healthy? I mean,
we still don't know that he's fully healthy. All we know is that he wants to play.
Take a stick to the eye. I mean, that's a pretty dang big injury.
I will say this, though. History has told us that on those weird, rare occasions, goaltenders get hurt or benched in the playoffs and have to miss a few games. A weirdly high number of times they get called back in later on and they dominate. And I'm not sure what it is, but it has happened a bizarrely high number of times that goaltenders are whether injury or poor play, told to take a seat for a few games. And when they come back, they are impenetrable.
They had to go stand in the corner for a while.
They had to think about what they've done and come back better.
One of the other matchups that I'm actually sad about because I like the Penguins.
Oh, I despise Crosby.
And so why?
Oh, I hate him.
Why?
He is such a whiner and a soft hockey
player. He's a great player.
He's a great player. Hockey is supposed to be the sport of tough men. Crosby is not one of those.
He's a scorer.
He is. He could do with less actual, literal tears in one instance. That's a very funny YouTube meme.
I think it's kind of mean, but anyway, getting past that, I guess what I'm saying is they're up 3-1 on the Rangers, and then now they got penguin poop down both legs because the Rangers obviously.
And I don't even particularly like the Rangers as a franchise.
I don't like the Rangers.
Yeah, I don't like them because they're from New York.
Yeah.
That's really the sole thing.
Yeah, that's enough for me too.
I look at all,
for upstate, like where Buffalo is, go Josh Allen.
Well, when I say New York, I mean city.
Yeah.
I will literally say Buffalo like it's its own thing when I'm registering the Sabres or Bills.
And then but you look at this and then they're playing the Hurricanes. Now, aren't the Hurricanes the Hartford Whalers? Didn't they used to be the Whale?
I want to say that's right, yeah.
So I hate them.
Oh, okay.
Because Hartford deserves to keep their team. And so, now to Carolina.
What's weird?
I'm tired of these freaking warm weather places taking away hockey from places that used to have a team. And the Whale, Hartford, Connecticut, they deserve a team. They had one. Anyway, so this series... Screw this series. I hope they both lose.
Well, I can only tolerate the Rangers at this moment because they have my boy Artemi Panarin, the bread man.
Now, why do they call him that?
Oh, because his last name's Panarin.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry, I'm a little slow.
Yeah.
I am from rural Wyoming, so we don't have all of those places.
He was a Blackhawk, obviously, from 2016 to 2019. He and Patrick Kane were unstoppable through that stretch, and I miss him. I miss Artemi Panarin. And I wish nothing but good things for him. And he was the goal scorer in overtime that clinched that series win in Game 7. And by the way, we had two of them on the same day. Both of the NBA Game 7s were...
They were crap.
They were
more than crap. They were
like you left that in the diaper for 3 days without noticing it for some reason.
Well, when my kids were little, my brothers would do this thing where they would take the diaper that I had changed and like dropped it outside the door so we'd have to smell it. And they would take that and they would hide it under the seat of my car.
This sounds like the single most evil thing I've ever heard.
I've got evil siblings. Anyway, so yeah, like 3 days worth of that. That's what that is.
So yeah, those game sevens were crap. Those two NHL Game 7s that we got on the same day, both going to overtime?
The NHL never disappoints Game 7. That's just...
Game 7,
they never do.
Overtime hockey is the best thing that exists in professional sports.
Well, and here's the thing. Even if you don't know anything about hockey, and I've said this on my show over the past many years, even if you don't watch any hockey at all, if you find yourself with the opportunity to watch a Game 7... Or even just the end of a close game 7. Do it.
Yeah.
It is just the euphoric nature of sports. It's why people watch.
Well, and Ottinger almost single-handedly. I will say this. I was rooting for Calgary. I picked them, and I just liked them more than Dallas. And it's weird because I've had other people ask me, well, why do you hate the Stars? And so many hockey fans are like, the Stars are so likable. They've never really won.
Screw them. They're out of Dallas.
And I literally say, I'm going to be honest, I hate them for the same reason I hate the Mavericks. It's because I just assume that their fans are also Cowboys fans, and I want Cowboys fans to be... My reasoning for so many disliking sports teams is because of other sports teams happen to share a city.
I think that's a perfectly valid answer.
For instance, it's still the only reason I hate the Bucks and Brewers is because they're technically in Wisconsin.
Yeah. You've gone over this. So who's going to win that series, the old Whalers or the Rangers?
Well, we'll go ahead and make our picks right now. So we've got the New York Rangers against the Carolina Hurricanes, and this one was very difficult for me because Carolina, they gutted out a very impressive victory over, yes, the Bruins were a low-seeded team, The Bruins are not easy to eliminate from the postseason. I don't care if the Bruins come in as an 8 seed and they have a losing record. The playoffs start, they're the playoff Bruins, and it's different. It's hard to knock them out. The Rangers, though, showed... You can't say that they didn't show guts.
Yeah.
Down 3-1, coming back. The Breadman ending that series in Game 7 overtime. Oh.
Okay, so who you got?
I'm going to take the New York Rangers in this series.
See, I don't want to pick either one of them. I mean, I already got I'm not picking a New York team. Screw them. I'm not doing that.
All right, I'll give you Carolina then.
Okay, but I don't like it.
It's funny that you also don't like Carolina, because I was convinced...
It has nothing to do with Carolina either. Yeah. It has to do with the fact that somebody moved the team. It's the same reason why I hate the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Because they should still be in Seattle. They screwed Seattle, and I don't even like Seattle.
No, I dislike most Seattle teams, but they have a passionate sports city.
Well, and they didn't deserve to lose their basketball team, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken from them.
Well, and I don't know why. I just developed this it's not like a hate, but it's a mild dislike of the Carolina Hurricanes over the last few years. I haven't even figured out why it happened. It's like my brain just roots for the team that's playing against them.
Maybe it's just because you're a Whaler fan.
Yeah, and I guess I'm glad other people also have weird hate for Carolina.
Although
makes me feel vindicated.
Although when I do see Carolina, it makes me think of barbecue for some reason. So I do like that. Carolina barbecue. Doesn't that sound good? Anyway, and Aaron's like, and we just ate too. And he's talking about barbecue. Let's go to the Atlantic. You got the number one Florida Panthers, who no one is talking about at all.
No, despite the fact that I mentioned it earlier in the year, they lost their Hall of Fame head coach halfway through mm-hmm. the season.
And they're taking on the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, who showed flashes, pardon the pun,
mm-hmm.
of what they've done the last 2 years getting out of that first round.
Yeah, and this one is, again, difficult for me because Tampa Bay... you could say they gutted out that win against the Maple Leafs, but let's be real. Did that not feel like another just Maple Leaf special?
Yep, it just feels like the Maple Leafs are going to leaf.
It's why no matter how many, I think Toronto took 3 different series leads. I think they were up 1-0, they were up 2-1, and they were up 3-2. And at no point did I think you took Toronto, I took Tampa Bay. And at no point did I feel particularly nervous.
Yeah, why did I... I think I like the Maple Leafs because I like maple nut ice cream.
I like the Maple Leafs franchise.
I do too.
I like Austin Matthews. I think their fans are passionate. Their uniforms are perfectly acceptable.
I love that their team name is a misnomer. They should be the Leaves, but they're not. Screw you or the Leafs.
And you will like it. But yeah, I like them as a franchise, but they are notorious playoff choke artists.
They are.
They are to right now what Vancouver was earlier in the 2000s and 2010s.
So who you got in this one? I'll tell you what, it's my turn. I'm going to go with the Panthers.
See, the smart choice here would be Florida. If you just went on what you've seen so far.
Yes.
Florida looks like a better team. And for some reason, something in my brain is telling me, Aaron, don't do it. Pick the Lightning. Just do it, Aaron.
All right, I guess you did it.
And there's some instinct in my gut. And you know what? I wanna go ahead and just trust whatever weird voice is whispering in my ear telling me that Tampa Bay won't be knocked out just yet. Maybe we're getting a Rangers-Tampa Bay. I think they've faced twice already in the last decade in the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe they'll do it again. Let's run it. Let's get the trilogy going.
So you're going Lightning.
I'm going to go Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay. We never really picked, so we've got to go back to the Avs and Blues. Obviously, I'm picking the Avs.
I have also taken Colorado in this one.
Yeah, because you hate the Blues.
I do hate the Blues. I would pick the Blues. I almost picked them last week against Minnesota if I truly thought that they would win, just to protect my 3-point lead right now and pick them. But I will be rooting against them, obviously. Not that I'm like a massive Colorado fan, though, because they're also our division rivals. But I know they disappoint in the playoffs every year, but I feel like it's their job to just make me be wrong one of these picks. Because if I pick against Colorado, it feels like, all right, I'm not really picking anymore. I'm just throwing a dart at a board and hoping this is the round I get right, because they just look too good.
Yeah, and again, they could blow it, but I don't think they will.
Not yet.
Now, to the last matchup, I got to be honest. I feel sad for this matchup. Calgary, Edmonton, and here's why. Hockey is Canada's sport.
Mm-hmm.
America, we get to borrow it. Canada's such a nice neighbor that they let us watch. They even let us have 3/4 of their teams. That's how polite Canada is. But I feel bad. Now, not during the Olympics. Screw you, Canada, during the Olympics.
My dad and I have always joked, back when the Blackhawks were really good, like during that dynasty run, we always used to joke at how funny it was that the Olympics would come around, and we'd be cheering death upon the Canadian team in front of our TV, and we're like 50% of this team are Blackhawks players, too, and we hate them for this.
Yeah. And like I said, that's its own thing. But don't we all, we should all feel a little bad that we're coming up on, what, 30 years?
Since 1992.
Yeah. So it has been 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
30 years since there's been a Canadian Stanley Cup champion. That's not right. Sorry, it's not.
Have you
and
seen
then,
the...
And then the part that makes me sad is there's two Canadian teams still in it, and they're playing each other.
One of them's going to the conference finals, though.
I guess that's true, but
could always go with that.
I guess that's a pretty positive way to spin it.
And if you're hockey very rarely does a good job, I'm afraid. It's easily the worst marketed of the four major sports.
Oh, yeah.
And a big part of that,
because it's eminently entertaining, and yet it has a fraction of the viewership of other things.
Well, and I'll say, not only is it one of the worst marketed, but I've also always attributed that to, I think, people naturally. If you played sports, you tend to gravitate towards sports you've played. It's just a weird thing in your brain. You just enjoy it more. You're like, and hockey is so difficult for lower income individuals to be able to play. It is a insanely expensive sport to play, which has never helped in getting people involved.
Or it's a really cheap sport to play if you live in a frigid tundra.
Well, that's true, as long as you decide that you're not going to wear any equipment ever.
Right.
That's the part that gets you for like $600-$700.
Rolled up newspapers for shin guards kind of thing.
But if hockey were smart, you've got not only two Canadian teams, it's the battle for Alberta, and you have Connor freaking McDavid and sidekick Leon Draisaitl, who are quickly becoming this generation's Crosby and Malkin, who were the original, you know, Kane and Taves. Kane and Taves were more known, though, for being like a winning duo. Kane was a superstar. Taves was a mild superstar who was just the captain of a dynasty team. But Crosby and Malkin were at points both MVP candidates in the same season. And we're getting to the point where McDavid is a perennial MVP candidate and Draisaitl is getting top five votes every year. And you've got those two and then a giant drop off into everybody else, unfortunately, for poor Edmonton. But Mike Smith's been dominating in goal. Going up against Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, you have two of the great, what should be superstars of your sport, if you were any better at marketing your stupid sport, that needs to be on ESPN and on your newspaper headlines everywhere.
I blame Gary Bettman.
Probably, yeah.
He's terrible at his job.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's not, but somebody's terrible at it.
I think he does a good job of what I hate about what Goodell does, which is constantly putting his fingerprints all over the sport.
Well,
Bateman at least took over and just said, y'all like this sport? Good. I'm not changing anything. This is just what it is.
Let's be honest. Roger Goodell won the lottery.
Yeah.
He got to become commissioner of a league that was going to grow by leaps and bounds, regardless of what he did. and he gets paid a percentage of how much it grows.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap. Talk about a guy. That's why when they boo him and he smiles, he doesn't care. He's making $40 million a year. Go ahead and boo. You can boo me while I'm going to sleep for $40 million a year. Anyway, coming back to hockey, Flames, Oilers, who you got?
By the way, that one was another, that Flames-Dallas overtime. If Dallas had won that game, it would have been the greatest highway robbery of all time.
64 saves.
They were destroyed. That is insane. Calgary pummeled them all game, and it was tied.
That is insane.
Ottinger deserves...
I mean, how often, seriously, how often do you hear of a 60-plus save game? It's almost unheard of.
Usually, you're going into like three overtimes when you get to 60 saves. Yeah. I know Demko got close against Vegas 2 years ago.
I'm just saying that is unusual. It's unusual to have.
It is insane. And for a 23-year-old that no one had really heard of, you know, the little Dallas young goaltender in Ottinger comes out and he almost single-handedly drags the corpse of the Dallas Stars to round two. Finally, the Flames were able to put one in overtime. And I think Calgary rides the momentum. They're going to knock Edmonton out. I think Edmonton is more top-heavy than Calgary in talent, and I think Calgary is a very balanced, very good hockey team. They're going on to the Western Conference Finals.
There's a guy locally that we deal with from a business standpoint, sponsorship and things like that. He's from Canada, and he's a huge Flames fan. I'm picking the Flames just because of him. Because I know it matters a little extra to him.
What a kind friend.
Well, but it's just, it's more of a pity pick.
What an unkind friend.
Because it's like you deserve better than what you've been getting. You deserve a like you said, that's the positive way to spin it. One of these Canadian teams is going to be...
You remind me of when I was at MoBap, I had a couple of teammates that came up to me on different occasions. And to this day, it is both one of the most heartwarming, like, oh, thanks, friends, and also pathetic, like, oh, God, we do suck.
Thanks, friends.
Yeah. At least four of them said the same thing to me throughout my years at MoBap, just from all the Bears crap that I just don't... I actually wore Bears receiver gloves every single game. That was my... I didn't use them in practice. I saved them for game day. So I had the... Where you put your hands over each other and it makes the Bears logo.
It makes a picture.
Yeah. So I wore Bears gloves on game days. I had Bears tee, you know, all this Bears stuff. And people would come up to me, my teammates, and go, Feely, I really hope that one day the Bears give you the team that you deserve. And I said... Thanks, but
they did.
Won't.
They did. It was just 1985.
Yeah, I was negative 10 when they gave me the team that my fanhood deserves.
Well, go back and watch the tape.
Now, granted, I did once cheer during an Aaron Rodgers injury, so maybe this is the Bears team that I deserve. Maybe I did this to myself.
Maybe.
Via my own vile hatred for another.
So you're picking...
I took Calgary.
Okay, we both took the Flames. Okay.
Yes.
All right, well, that's a pretty comprehensive look at the NHL playoffs, I think.
Well, there we go. And we've also got another set of playoffs going on at the moment.
Yeah, the NBA playoffs, otherwise known as the We Don't Care playoffs, because like what we just said, two game sevens. Not only that, Aaron, those series, most of those games weren't even close. It just kind of like, oh, this team wins by 30, that team wins by 30, that team wins by 30, this team wins by 30.
Speaking of cheering for Milwaukee injuries, can I say that I have not stopped laughing since I saw, after that game ended, Milwaukee Bucks Twitter begin to erupt with random fans popping out of the woodwork, yelling and screaming that if Middleton had played in that series, they would have won. Kind of sucks, doesn't it, Milwaukee, when your most hated rival injures one of your decent players and he's out for a while?
Huh? I say, well, no kidding. He was a huge piece of that championship run last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy at all. You're the jerks that knocked Alex Caruso
yeah.
out for a huge chunk. You know what? I hope you cry yourself to sleep constantly.
They won't. They have a championship ring from last year. I have a rule that I make people around me adhere to. There's a 5-year rule. If your team won the championship, you don't get to complain, whine, bitch, moan, anything for 5 years. So the Bucks, you're still on year one, man. I don't care. For as long as you live, you're going to be champs. And you beat a team that was arguably in a position to win the championship, and you took it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the great runs in the last 20 years.
I hated it.
but I'm just saying. So, yeah, you got beat out this year. You can stare lovingly at your championship ring from last year while you golf.
Don't do that. Focus on your loss. Be sad.
Well, that's the thing. The good players will.
Oh, the players. The players are all perfectly fine human beings. I'm talking specifically to the Wisconsinites at gotcha. This time. So, you know, Joe.
I think you're taking things too
works
far.
Works at a local dairy farm near Milwaukee.
You're going to badmouth a dairy farmer?
From Wisconsin.
That job sucks,
oh,
man.
Oh, it does.
Where you are right now, this used to be big time dairy area.
Oh, I have lots of respect for dairy farmers.
Yeah, it's a
unless
miserable
they're from
existence.
Wisconsin.
Oh, my heck. It's a tough, hardy crew. But yeah, the NBA playoffs so far this year have been really
but
meh.
On a positive note, and I'm not sure that it's due at this point, but I'm just going to try to be optimistic. The two championship series both feel a little bit like complete toss-ups, which is at least exciting.
I totally agree with you.
Before they've started.
I mean, Boston and Miami, yeah, I have no idea.
You got a quarter on you?
No.
We got to flip it, because that's basically what I had to do for that one.
I think there's a coin flip app on your phone or something. yeah, Boston, here's the funny thing. When Boston stole game one against the Nets, clear back in the opening round, mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, they won, but they probably shouldn't have won that game. And then they go on to sweep them, obviously. But I just, mm-hmm. I kind of made a mental note that, yeah, I don't think the Celtics are good enough to win the whole thing. And yet here they are, and they look as good as any of the teams that are left.
Yeah. I ended up taking Boston against Miami, for what it's worth.
So do I get to repick now? How does this work? Or am I just screwed because both my teams lost?
Oh, for your championship pick. I don't even think that was on this show. I think that was on Sports Friday on the radio.
Okay. Because of the two, I'm going to cheer for the Heat. And the only reason I'm going to cheer for the Heat is because Jimmy Butler was drafted by the Bulls and used to play for Chicago.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
What's hilarious is I remember I took, before the playoffs started, I took the Heat and the Warriors. And yet here we are with a chance for that to be the result. Yeah. And I took Boston.
And then, yeah, the other finals.
I feel a little bit more confident in this one in that I didn't have to flip my coin. I'm just going to take Golden State and hope for that Luka doesn't personally,
man,
you know,
I
give them a clobbering all
well,
by himself again.
Luka, he looked like he personally enjoyed dismantling the Suns in that Game 7. He looked like a kid who had gotten the pony for his birthday.
Well, evidently he and Devin Booker were each other's biggest fans throughout that series.
You go back a few games before, and I don't know if you saw this. I saw it on Twitter. Like, Luka is talking to a ref or somebody, he's got the ball, and Devin Booker kind of rudely comes in and steals the ball from him and calls him a name. And you can tell Luke, he's looking at him like, you dirty so-and-so.
Did you see the other one where...
And since that moment, the Mavericks killed the Suns.
There was one where Devin Booker went up for a layup, got lightly touched, no foul called, goes to the ground, and he just lays down like he was knocked unconscious. He had his arms over his head. Someone was filming from their courtside seat. He pops his eye up to look at the fan, then smirks, turns around, sees he didn't get a call, and a fan said, oh, that's a... What did the fan say? It said something like, that's a super flop there, Devin. And he turned around to the fan and he said, I call it the Luka special. Then laughed and ran away.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's pointed out to me, and I'm just going to use this because I'm a jerk, I am so tired of hearing about how good Chris Paul is. Tired. I'm tired of people discounting players like John Stockton. Well, yeah, he's the all-time leader in assists and steals. Yeah, but... But what? And they're calling Chris Paul point god. Give me a freaking break. The guy is... He's never won a championship. He's not going to. He just had back-to-back chances. If he was as clutch as he thinks he is, he'd be on his way to his second ring right now. Because they should have won last year. They had everything going for him.
I was really hoping they were going to win
They should have won last year. And then this year, you're 10 games better than everyone else in the regular season. They choked it.
Yeah.
Him and Booker. Booker at least, he's young enough. He'll have a chance to sweep this year away. Chris Paul, I don't know, man. I think the window might be closing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tired of hearing about how good he is. I mean, especially when someone brings up, you know, he's like thousands of assists behind John Stockton.
Yeah.
And then he'll bring up some excuse like, yeah, I think they must have been counting them assists different in Utah. It's like, what a jerk. It's like, here's the thing. Maybe, you know, make the playoffs every year, go deep in them every year and never miss any games. And then you wonder what your assist total would be. I'm tired of the guy.
You know, speaking of broadcasters getting tired of superstars being mentioned, I don't know if you saw this thing with Michelle Tafoya.
I guess I didn't.
And I thought I was with her until I saw the context. And then I realized, oh, okay, well, they're not even wrong here, Michelle. She went to Twitter and she tweeted at the Angels and she added Shohei Ohtani, bold, to say, why won't, I forget what network it was. She basically said, can we stop talking about Ohtani nonstop during the broadcast? And I was actually with her only because I remember I was watching White Sox versus Rays. Two American League, one East and one Central teams, neither of which Shohei Ohtani is on. And it was on Apple TV. It was one of their big... It's Friday Night Baseball. Blah, blah, blah. And the broadcasters on Apple TV would not shut up about Shohei Ohtani the whole time. I said, he's not playing today. Stop it.
He is amazing, though.
He is amazing. Talk about Tim Anderson. Talk about the Rays. Talk about someone playing on the field.
So what happened to Michelle Tafoya?
Anyhow, she was referring to a broadcast of the Angels game after Ohtani had just hit his 100th career home run.
Which, as I recall, made him the only person, along with Babe Ruth, to have 100 home runs and strike out at least 250 batters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a short list.
It's two.
It's two, and the other guy's name is Babe Ruth.
Yeah, speaking of Babe Ruth and lists that only involve two, did you see Albert Pujols joined Babe Ruth on the list of players that have pitched a complete inning and hit 600 one, career home runs?
That one feels a little less accomplished.
Oh, come on.
But I think it is fun.
He gave up four runs in his one inning.
I think it is kind of fun because every once in a while, baseball will remember that they're a game. And that seemed like one of those moments, so I liked it.
But yeah. So, now granted, everyone then took to Twitter to say that Michelle Tafoya was a white supremacist racist for hating Shohei Ohtani talk.
Wow.
Which feels extreme.
Is Michelle Tafoya even white? I don't think she is.
Is she light-skinned or is she just really tan?
I'm just saying, why do we immediately jump to this?
So, an extreme reaction to the tweet, but also a dumb tweet.
Oh, super dumb.
Like one and two there. Because I also hate the weird Ohtani overindulgence, but only, like I said, because it's when it's in games he's not playing in. Like, when is the... Apart from when it's, you know, the occasional Tony Romo-Jim Nance game where Romo will bring up Tom Brady at purely random for reasons we don't know, but I assume are probably sexual.
He's probably looking for... you're looking for a job.
Yeah. I don't feel like I watch that many football games where I'm watching Bears-Lions and the announcers won't shut up about Patrick Mahomes. Like, that doesn't feel like it happens in that sport.
Yeah.
And yet, like, even... Now, I've been told by some basketball fans that basketball occasionally has that problem.
See, I think basketball...
I haven't seen it myself.
I think basketball really has that problem when it comes to players like LeBron James.
Well, see, yeah...
Well, let's see what LeBron thinks about this. Like, he's some kind of friggin' philosopher.
See, I don't even like LeBron James, but I'll at least give basketball credit with him. For... I watched probably 50 or so Bulls games this year, and I don't particularly recall LeBron James or Giannis being just, mentioned in the ones we were playing. But he's just everywhere. He just,
it's like, oh, well, let's see what LeBron thinks about, you know, peace in the Middle East. And, you know...
See, now, that's not the NBA. That feels like that's just Bronny,
what's Bronny doing?
A celebrity.
I don't care about Bronny. I don't care. In fact, I'm annoyed that you have interjected this kid that hasn't accomplished jack squat into my day.
Now, I will say this, and again, I'll mention, I am in the boat of LeBron James, the LeBron James haters. I root on LeBron's downfall because I'm a Jordan fan. See, type of deal.
I'm a huge Jordan fan, but I don't have anything. I think what LeBron has done is amazing.
A part of me, though, now granted, some of the things are funny, like Bronny James. Or no, sorry, was it Bronny or was it two sons?
I don't even, yeah, he does, but I don't even, stop talking about his
one
kids.
One of them changed their number so that, quote, the opponent wouldn't know who he was before he stepped foot on the court. And his name is literally LeBron James Jr.
Yeah.
Which I found funny. There was the one incident, though, that I will say I did have to mentally defend. When LeBron James went off on a high school PA announcer and the media kind of ran him over the coals. This was like 2 years ago. And I thought, oh, LeBron James really went to a high school basketball game, was going after a PA announcer. Like, come on, LeBron. And then I read it. And it was because it was his son was playing a road game and the opposing announcer kept like the PA guy who's literally there specifically to say checking into the game such and such.
Easy now. I've done that job many times.
No, but I'm saying you're not really supposed to be saying other things.
Well, sure you are. You're a hype man.
Oh, I was about to say he was reportedly hazing very strongly LeBron James Jr. and going over the microphone to point out and laugh every time he missed a shot.
Okay, that's over the line.
And I went, okay, like, yeah, I don't like LeBron James, but you're actively making fun of a child.
A child. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he happens to be related.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that.
Again, I've done several hundred games as a PA announcer.
Please don't do that, Dal.
And you shouldn't have to be told not to do that. They're children. I don't care if he's basically American royalty because he's the son of a guy who puts a ball through an iron hoop.
Yeah. But think it very loudly in your head if you want, but don't.
I'm more along the lines of be relentlessly optimistic for your own team. Mm-hmm. Don't be a dick to the other team, at least not publicly. Be a dick in private.
Not in high school.
Yeah.
College is iffy because at least they're legal adults. Still not real great about how much criticism college athletes get from announcers. Professionals, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're full-grown adults.
You're fair game there.
Draw memes about them crying if you want. See if I care.
I want to move on to...
By the way, did you actually pick someone for Golden State Dallas?
I'm picking the Warriors.
Okay. Easy enough.
I want to talk about this. So the league. See, that's how you know football is king. You just say the league, and people know that you're talking about football. So they are scheduled to meet with Deshaun Watson this week, according to multiple sources, and supposedly the league is going to do whatever the league's going to do
mm-hmm.
with Deshaun Watson.
Imagine they suspend him and then the Browns ask Mayfield to start for them.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So I guess my question is, should Deshaun Watson be suspended? And if so, for how long?
As of right now, I don't know the answer to either question.
But I'm just saying,
because I don't actually have any of the courtroom.
And neither do I. But put yourself in the shoes of the NFL, and something's got to happen, or something's not got to happen.
If you have some legitimate evidence of guilt in even one of these, even if it's just strong,
keeping in mind two juries in Texas declined to indict him.
Yes.
So I mean, there's that.
I mean, if you have strong evidence, you're like, we don't have proof, but we have strong evidence that you probably did it. Give him a suspension, likely, because you're just the NFL. You're not the legal system. 4 to 6 games? If you have downright proof, someone says, look at this. Here's a photograph of him doing it. We've got it right here. Here's literal proof. Then he's done. You at least like forever? For the year. At least for the year.
See, I guess I totally agree with you there. I think if there is any real evidence, which, come on, there's got to be some. 22? 22 different women.
Have you heard the theory that Houston started it as a conspiracy because Deshaun Watson was openly critical, so they paid 22 women to do this?
Wow. That would be just epic. Poor business there. But seriously, as human nature, 22 people.
A small part of you thinks, well, at least one of them, right?
There's got to be, you know, the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
There's got to be a fire somewhere.
But again, I am trying my absolute best here to also not outright. Because again, if there is in fact no evidence at all, I also don't want to
be also,
the guy who's.
There's also been people suspended for a season in the NFL with no evidence.
Yeah, which I've always found quite weird indeed. So
I mean, the NFL is going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I guess I
further
feel
proof
like,
that we shouldn't like Roger Goodell because he is the bad man.
I guess I feel like he's looking at least 4 games just because, and you're going to have a ton of people make fun of that because it's not very much.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a black eye from these groups that say the NFL doesn't care about women. If they do have evidence, I think, yeah, he's done at least for a year. Mm-hmm. I think he should be done for a year anyway. Roger Goodell has repeatedly used the phrase protect the shield or don't tarnish the shield. Like, here I am quoting him and then I don't say it right. But he said the NFL is the shield, and it's the shield, the logo.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tarnish that. It's everybody's meal ticket. It's America's game now. How is Deshaun Watson not tarnish the shield?
True.
He has.
Now, granted, they also, I guess Michael Vick served prison time. So
yeah,
that is
he went to jail. And for people saying it wasn't enough, you have that prerogative, but he went to freaking San Quentin.
Well, and wasn't it?
Or no, Leavenworth. He went to Leavenworth, Kansas.
Wasn't it for 4 years?
It was, I don't think it was quite, I thought it was like 2 years, but
because he was gone after 06, he didn't come back till 2010.
Okay, you talk and I'll Google it.
Okay. And you know what? I better not even say what I was going to say. I was going to mention, it wasn't even for as bad of a crime. But then the animal rights activists will, you know, tar and feather me. So maybe
there are people who think what he did is worse than. Okay, so according to Google.
Than rape?
So according to Google, he spent 548 days in prison. Now keep in mind, this is not jail. This is not county jail.
Okay.
This is.
That's shorter than I thought it was.
Yeah, but that's still a year and a half.
Yeah,
and like I said, I'm pretty.
Why
sure
Why wasn't he playing football then for that extra 2 years? That
well, I don't know what happens in prison. Thank goodness. Anyway, so, but here's Deshaun Watson. First off, I can't believe the Cleveland Browns' mishandling of this whole thing. Okay, maybe you really do want Deshaun Watson. Maybe you really do want to move on from Baker Mayfield. Maybe those are all. Maybe those are both true statements. How in the hell can you throw all the resources that they did in order to get Deshaun Watson, not knowing at all if he was going to be available for this next year, mm-hmm. while simultaneously pissing off your four-year, five-year starter who had a down year last year?
You know exactly how this would happen.
Because they're the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
But I'm floored by this whole scenario. And then people are like, well, they're not going to have Baker start. I'm like, they don't have a choice. Either that.
I don't know that Baker's going to start.
Say either they will release him.
Do they still have Case Keenum?
I thought he signed somewhere else.
Hmm.
See, you're making Google go overtime here.
Yeah. I don't have my laptop today, so all the Googling must be done by Dal Erickson on this particular episode.
Okay, they do have him.
Yeah, we might be getting Case Keenum. No.
He's on the Bills.
Oh!
That's right. He signed with the Bills as a backup.
That's a sweet gig these days, by the way.
Yes,
Josh Allen doesn't come out of games.
Yeah. Can I be that guy? It's like, who's organizing the kegger after the game?
You ever heard Jim McMahon's quote about how his favorite job he ever had was being Brett Favre's backup?
Yeah, I can see why.
He goes, I got front row tickets to the NFL every week, and I never had to lift a finger.
But, so, if you're Baker Mayfield, just from a pride standpoint, I don't think you can play.
No.
You can't. And so, let's say Deshaun Watson gets suspended for 8 games. Let's say it's 8 games. That's, you know, it's half the season, or thereabouts. And Mayfield's going to get moved. I mean, he's not going to play for him. He'll get moved or released or something. Or he'll just sit. And the Browns have to go with who knows who. How can you look at this and think...
They surely signed some other backup with their knowledge.
But how can you look at this as a Browns fan and go, yeah, that was the right move. There's nothing about this that seems coherent.
And you know, that's almost the biggest problem here too, is that Browns fans are right there with that group of overly passionate. You want Browns fans to have happiness to a certain extent.
They deserve it. That's the factory of sadness.
And their team has made their poor... They're supposed to be the lovable underdog franchise, and their own ownership is tarnished. Not only their team, is it bad... Now their reputation is bad, too. Well, and these poor fans are going, please, can't we get the sympathy again?
Especially going back 2 years. Remember, they were the sexy pick to challenge the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And be. I mean, I saw stuff that had them in front of the Bills 2 years ago as far as what they were going to do after they made the postseason.
And clobbered Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and gave the Chiefs all they could handle.
Yeah, thanks Baker Mayfield for coming out and winning us our first playoff
game. And then 2 years later, you've shat in a bag and thrown it against his front door and lit it on fire. I don't get it. Anyway, but Deshaun Watson, I will be absolutely floored if he plays all 17 games for the Browns this year, then they're the smartest guys in the room.
By accident.
Yeah, but they are. Because that is like taking your last chip and putting it on one number in roulette.
Now, you say that. I actually still have the same problem with that move as I did with the Russell Wilson trade for Denver. In that, yeah, it makes them a much better team. They might still come in third place in their own division.
They still might. That's a brutal division. But this, I don't know. I think the whole thing was a joke. And if I'm a team that's not sure about my quarterback situation, why you're not talking to the Browns? Maybe they are, but I'd be talking to the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to kind of come. I mean, what about... I don't know.
Here's an interesting one. I know we don't think of them as, you'd think a team trading for a quarterback is trying to win now, right? But Baker Mayfield's in his early 20s.
He's in his prime.
If you traded for him, you could just consider it the same thing as drafting him at this point. What about the Detroit Lions?
Yeah. Is he better than Jared Goff?
Easily.
I think a lot of people would say that he is.
Does he bring a little bit of that swagger that your franchise is so desperately in need of? Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, we make fun of some of the things he did as a player. He's occasionally an absolute brain fart in human form. But you cannot tell me that Cleveland didn't ride the energy of the Baker Mayfield hype train to that postseason win over Pittsburgh.
I'll just throw this out there, too, because I hate Zach Wilson. I think the Jets...
The Jets are not going to trade for a quarterback.
But they should. That's exactly why they suck. They're gonna piss this away for another year or two, and then they're going to draft somebody else who's still not as good as Baker Mayfield.
I hope Zach Wilson throws 28 touchdowns to 13 interceptions and has a really solid year this year, just so that every single week on this broadcast, we can listen to Dal find the pinpoint things in Zach Wilson's game to bring out the BYU hate. It'll be so excellent.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens.
I didn't talk any USFL this particular week, and that's because my Breakers had a bad week. So I'm not going to, Dal. Okay. I'm going to be bitter. I'm just going to not talk about it.
Oh, something we also need to... how can we not bring this up as much? We may or may not have a show next week.
Yes.
Because one of us is about to become a father.
Congratulations.
It's not me.
Oh.
I'm not doing that again. I already did that. But congratulations to you, Aaron.
Well, thank you.
Preemptively. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be having a baby this next... Well, your wife is. Mm-hmm. This next week.
I am there for moral support.
You have no idea how...
And to get out of the way as soon as the important stuff starts happening.
You're there to let her break your hand while she's squeezing it. But anyway, congratulations. We may or may not have a show because we'll have... You know, we might celebrate baby Feely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up all the big stories for this week. So catch us every week on Spotify, on svinews.com/podcasts, and on our YouTube channel. For Dal Erickson, I've been Aaron Feely here with the Unsportsmanlike Conduct Podcast. See you all next time.